The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to talk to you this morning about diapering your children. We've been in a series, an inheritance, your inheritance, and we've talked about receiving your spiritual inheritance, claiming your spiritual inheritance. And this week, we want to talk about passing your spiritual inheritance, and I want to use DIAPER as an acronym for passing your spiritual inheritance. Proverbs 13:21 says this, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous." When we talk about inheritance, I think it's wonderful that we leave a financial inheritance to our children, material inheritance to our children. I think we should do that. We should try to plan and share those things. But share the blessings that God has placed on us throughout our life. But the most important inheritance that we can pass on to our children is a spiritual inheritance. A heritage of spiritual things, a spiritual foundation, an understanding of God and the power of God and His Son Jesus Christ in our lives, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day walk, and how we have the ability through God to be able to accomplish anything that God calls us to. That nothing is impossible with God. Things that are impossible with man are possible with God. There's absolutely nothing that is impossible with our God. So this morning, as I look at this, we look at the scriptures and this acronym DIAPER, I want to begin by talking about taking each letter and recognizing that there is an importance to us of passing on spiritual inheritance to our children. The first one, of course, is dedication. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, this scripture is a wonderful scripture, and I think it's a scripture that we should stand on as parents. If we train up our children, they'll not depart far from the faith. But we need to understand also, it's not a guarantee that your children will not go their own way. Everyone are free moral agents, and we can make our own choices. As a teenager, I made my own choice. My choice was to depart from the faith of my parents and go about doing my own thing. Everybody makes their own choices. It wasn't my family's desire. It wasn't my mother's desire. She desired that all of her children would serve God. She taught us to serve God. She taught us to be faithful, to go to church. She made us go to church. How many make your kids go to church? How many have to make your kids go to church sometimes? Come on. Listen, you should make your kids go to church. You know, there's going to come a time in an age where they're not going to go to church any longer. They're going to make their own decision. But listen, you are instilling a principle and a value in their lives by making them go to church. You're the parent. Act like it. My parents never gave us a choice of whether we went to church or not. We just knew we were going. That was something we were going to do. We were going to go, we were going to be there, and we were going to keep our mouth shut. At least that was the theory. Okay? Did it happen? Not very often. Did I get consequences for it? Absolutely. You know, when mom looks at you, does this, you know you're in trouble, right? You've done something wrong. So you straighten up for a little while anyhow until she turns her back, you know. That's just kid stuff. Kids are that way. You know, we had kids running around here this morning. That sometimes irritates me a little bit, I got to tell you. But Tammy reaches over and says, "Just relax, they're just kids." I understand they are children. And we've got to recognize that we want them here. I recognize that. I want them here. And if I have to tolerate a little bit of running around here and there, I'll do it. Because we want them here. We want them to be a part of this. We want them to see God move. We want them to experience the power of God. So what we have to do as parents is be dedicated. And being dedicated means that you're going to train up your child in the way they should go. And the rest is up to God. If we as parents are dedicated to training our children in the way they should go, we'll help them live a godly, fulfilled lives if they choose that. But our responsibility is not to make them Christians. Our responsibility is to teach them how to be a believer so that they can walk in it if they choose to walk in it. We want them to. And I believe when we pray and we seek God, we will see the fruit of that. Amen. The way in that scripture means a journey, habits, way. The word way means two things to believers. Sometimes we miss this aspect of this particular scripture. It certainly means to train a child in godly things. But it also means that a child has a certain way about them, a certain bent about them, a certain life purpose about them. All of you who have children, you know exactly why. If you have more than one child, if you have two children, you know those children are not exactly the same. You know that those children have different ways about them, different desires, different talents, and different gifts in their life. And that's what we must realize as parents, is that all children are not going to be the same. Each one of them have their own way, their own bent. And we as children, it's not our, or as parents, it's not our responsibility to train those children up to become what we want them to be. Our responsibility is to train those children up to be what God wants them to be. So we have to be careful that we're not trying. Now, we do this sometimes in regards to, particularly I've seen this in sports with parents. If a parent wants their child to play sports and the child doesn't want to, they sometimes force them to. It's not the child's bent. It's not their direction. But we sometimes, you know, everybody's doing it. So we got to get our kids involved in it and do it. It might be, it could be anything. It could be ballet, it could be dance, it could be gymnastics. It can be a direction that you choose for your child, for their career. Be careful that you do not do that. You let God direct their steps. You allow the Holy Spirit to move them. Trust your God, because He knows exactly what your children need and the direction they need to go in. I remember Max Lucado talking about this as a child. Everybody know who Max Lucado is? If you don't, he's a great communicator of the gospel. Max Lucado has written many books, but he said that growing up, his dad was a mechanic, and he said he tried to be a mechanic. He tried to go out and work on cars and stuff with his dad. But, you know, his dad would be under there working on the car, and he said, I'd fall asleep. I had no interest in being a mechanic. So his dad, rather than try to force Max to be a mechanic, he recognized the gifts that Max had. Max loved to read and study, and so he encouraged him and he instilled the values of reading and studying and becoming scholarly. And today, Max Lucado is touching thousands of lives because he's sharing the gospel and he's teaching people how to walk in the kingdom. Now, he has a little different beliefs in regards to baptism of the Holy Spirit and some of the things that I believe in and I know that are important for the body of Christ today, but I still believe he's a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's doing a work. And these are the kind of things that I want us to understand as parents. I feel like I have the opportunity today to talk about this because it's Mother's Day. And we could talk about training up our children. Mothers, you are blessed. And I thank God that you're here today in this place to be blessed by God. I thank you for being the mothers that you are, for bringing your children here to church on a regular basis and making sure that they hear the Word of God and they know the Word of God. That you're not only doing that there, but you're doing it in your home as well. Thank you very much. I am thankful that my parents, particularly my mother, was willing to train us up in the way we should go. Amen? Amen. Amen. Good job. You know what? Look, I want everybody to look over here this morning to Bud and Deb and their family. Beautiful little girls that they have here. Deb is just, she's the closest to heaven as she could possibly get here on earth. Sitting there this morning. Amen. Yes. And a surprise, yeah, great surprise for her. Amen. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is illustration. Illustrate your faith. Walk your faith. Joshua 1, 7 and 8 says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You have to be a walking illustration of the Word of God for your children. They have to see you walking it out every day of your life. You cannot come to church on Sunday mornings and praise God and give God glory and go out those doors and act like hell. I'm just telling you. That's the way it is. You've got to make a commitment to serving Jesus Christ. If you want your children to be impacted by the gospel, it's not going to happen in children's church. It's going to happen at home. That's what's going to take place. You have to be a walking illustration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In an article titled, "My Youth, Why Youth Stay in Church When They Grow Up," John Nelson, who is the college professor at College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, he said, in his experience, children who are led in their faith during their growing up years by parents who love Jesus vibrantly, serve their church actively, and saturate their home with the gospel completely, their children grow up to love Jesus in the church. That's the responsibility we have, to illustrate it wherever we go, whatever we do. I can tell you this, even though as a young man, I left my parents' faith, because it was their faith at that time. I mean, understand that. You know, we all have to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ on our own. No one else can do it for us. No one else can be standing in the gap for us. As much as my mother tried, she tried to stand in the gap for us. She prayed for us. She was bombarding the gates of heaven on behalf of us, praying and asking God. I still made a choice to leave their faith. But I came to the realization of my own faith because of their example as believers. That's victory, people. That's victory for my mother. That's victory for my family. Because Jesus is Lord of my life. And not only Lord of my life, but I feel like I'm exactly where God wants me to be, doing exactly what God has called me to. Being faithful, because they were a living illustration. So first of all, we're going to be dedicated. Second, we're going to illustrate. Third thing is adoration. Psalms 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The fruit of the womb is a reward. God rewards us with children. I know, mothers, sometimes it doesn't seem like it. It seems like they came from hell. We all realize that. And you, as mothers, have a huge responsibility to love and nurture those children. There are going to be times where you would like you'd just love to put them in the trash and let the trash guy take them out. Because these are the days when you have difficulties and trials. But you must realize that you are going to impact your children in a way that no one else can.
That's right.
Love them. Nurture them. Let them know it. That what Dot said this morning was powerful. Be careful what you speak into their lives. It's important what we say to our children. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You can break your children's spirit if you're not careful. Dot's spirit had been broken for many, many years because of careless words spoken by a parent. Mothers, you're going to impact your children in even a greater way than a father does. Because they have expectations of you, of love and compassion and concern. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will reap the fruit thereof. Wow. Your words have death and life in them. Speak life. Speak it into your children. Give them the confidence to know that God is with them wherever they go and that nothing is impossible for them to accomplish. You have the power to speak life or death. Make sure it's life. Proverbs 38, verse 28 says this. This whole chapter, most of it, describes a virtuous woman. And in verse 28, it says this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. As a husband and a son of virtuous women, I can say that is very true. I praise my wife. I praise my mother. Because they have been virtuous in all their ways. Be a virtuous woman. Be all that God wants you to be. Dedication, illustration, adoration, preparation. Deuteronomy 6:9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now listen to what it says. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You shall have them wherever you go. You will take this word of God and you will post it all over your house. So your children will see it. And not only will you put it on your refrigerator, you put it on the walls, you'll put it everywhere you can think of to put it, but you will require your children to know what it says. And not only that, you'll walk in it day after day after day. The Word of God is powerful. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut both ways. It will save your children's life. It will keep them and direct them and help them to walk in the ways of the Lord. It's preparation, but you have to be diligent about preparing them. Listen, Children's Church is a wonderful thing. Praise God, especially during preaching service. But it's not going to totally equip your children. It's a tool that you can use to help your children become strong in the Lord. But if they are going to truly be equipped, you are responsible to equip them. You must teach them the things of God. You must know what the Word of God says. And you must direct them to that Word every day of their life. You must pray with them. You must, listen, take time at your meals. Pray with your children. Pray with your family. Before they go out someplace, pray with them. Be with them. Let them know that you're sending angels out with them in the name of the Lord. That God will be with them. Pray for them before they go off to school. God knows they need it when they go into that school system. Pray for them. Show them what it means to be a real believer. And then every day of your life, love God. This is the commandment. This is fulfillment of the commandment. Show them by loving God and loving people. Loving God and loving people. Jesus said that fulfills all the law and the commandments. If they see you saying you love God and you mistreat people, there's something wrong with your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be loving God and loving people. Hallelujah. That'll change lives. It'll not only change your life, it'll change the lives of the people that you impact, but it will burn the truth of the gospel in your children. I knew that my dad and my mom loved God, not because they said they loved God or not because we went to church every day, but because when somebody needed something, they were there to help them. They were there to give. There was nothing in our household that they wouldn't give to somebody if they needed it. How many of us are bound up by materialism and it holds on to us? It drags us down. It's keeping us from truly experiencing the face of God because materialism has a hold of us. We have this thing that we want to keep and we not get rid of it. God taught me this lesson many, many years ago. I had a pair of shoes, and most of you have heard this story. I had a pair of shoes that I looked for. I just spent lots of time looking for this pair of shoes, and I finally found a pair of shoes that I wanted, and I paid the price for them, much to my wife's dismay. But they were important to me, and I wore those shoes proudly. And I was in a church service where a couple guys came in. We'd not seen them before. Hey, look, they were dressed kind of nice. And the service went on. They got up and shared a couple things that God was doing in their life. And I watched them, I said, man, this is great, God. It's impressive what you're doing in their lives. And God said, yeah, look at that guy's shoes. I didn't want to look at that guy's shoes. I had a feeling where this thing was going. And I just didn't want to do it. So after a couple times the Holy Spirit speaking to me, I finally looked at that guy's shoes. And his suit looked nice, but his shoes were falling apart. And guess what? It looked like he would wear my size. And before that service was over, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to give that guy your shoes. I took those shoes off after arguing with the Holy Spirit for quite some time. At the end of the service, I took them off and I just presented them to him and I ran out of that service without any shoes on as quickly as I could. I think Tammy was out in the car waiting on me, wondering where I was, what I was doing. But God, you know, he was teaching me at that time not to hold on to things. We've got to give up things. Parents, don't let things keep you from being the example you need to be to your children. Amen. Dedication, illustration, adoration, preparation. E is examination. Clear rules for your children. Susanna Wesley was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, and most everyone has probably heard of the Wesleys. They, of course, John started the Methodist organization, and Charles wrote about 9,000 hymns that many of them are still sung in churches today. And she was the mother of 19 children in total, but she had a list of things, of rules, that she raised her children under. Number one, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. What a great rule. Number two, teach him or her to pray as soon as he can speak. Give him nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Command and reward good behavior. Strictly observe all promises you have made to your children. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it, parents? Sometimes we flippantly make a promise to our children because they just keep bugging us so much. Be careful. If you make a promise, stick to it. Have some rules in your household. Proverbs 11:5 says, "The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness." Parents, I believe it's imperative that you have clear-cut rules in your household, that your children understand and know what the rules are. Now listen to me. I'm going to say something that I've gotten a lot of flack over. But I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep saying it because I believe it wholeheartedly. You are not your children's friend. Don't be your children's friend. Don't try to be your children's friend. You are a parent. You are an adult. You, believe it or not, you do have more wisdom than they do. You do have more experience in life than they do. You must be willing to be a parent and say no when no is appropriate. It's okay to say yes when it's right, when it's good. But you got to say no, and you got to mean it, and you've got to stick to it. And it doesn't matter what kind of names you hear them say, call you. Don't allow that either. But you're going to hear it. Have consequences for that. But it doesn't matter how angry they become. Stand firm, because I can guarantee you this from experience in our household. You are not to be your children's friend now, but years later, if you will be a parent, you will be their friend later. They'll come back to you and they will say, "Thank you for recognizing the importance of being a parent and telling me no." You can't imagine that now. If you've got a teenager, you can't imagine that right now. But it's true. Amen. We heard testimony this morning. Lisa saying how important it was. You know, she was told no, she couldn't do this. And I'm sure that's the reason the conflict happened. But praise God. Life has changed, parents. Because a parent was willing to say no. Willing to stand and be an adult and do what was right. All right. Dedication, illustration, adoration, preparation, examination. The last thing is regulation. If you have rules, you got to regulate those rules, right? You got to have some discipline in your household. Proverbs 13:24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Now, I know there's great controversy today in our world over whether you should spank a child or not, that it might be child abuse. But I can tell you it's child abuse if you do not spank them when it's appropriate. Now, I'm not telling you that spanking a child is the most appropriate discipline every time. And for some children, spanking is not appropriate. If you got a child that would rather be spanked than have his iPhone taken away from him, you need to take the iPhone. Forget about the spanking. Or the iPad or the computer or the game console or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. You know, whatever it is, you want, I know this is going to sound bad, but you want to hurt them. Right? Come on, you want it to be painful. It has to be in order for them to learn.
That's right.
Now, I could say as a child growing up, my mother understood pain. She understood, she spanked us. And it was probably the most appropriate thing for me. I needed spanked. But she was a very wise woman. She understood that the rod didn't just mean that you were supposed to get a rod out. She was able to improvise a little bit. We had Hot Wheels track. And buddy, that made a great switch. And when I did wrong, when we got out of line, my mother understood using the Hot Wheels track. And she disciplined us with that Hot Wheels track. They are still making that stuff today. Yeah. Every parent needs to get one. But listen, look. She didn't abuse us. She didn't beat us till we couldn't walk. She just used it appropriately to spank us and to make us understand that we were doing wrong. And God knows, I did wrong often. Most of the time that I got in trouble, it was my brother's fault. I'm telling you, he forced me to hit him every time. He would say something or do something that he deserved it. But I always got spanked for it. Parents, I believe we have a huge responsibility in this. Rules. And enforce those rules. Now, I'm telling you, some of you sitting in here, you probably have a son or a daughter that they're easy. They'll do whatever they want, whatever you ask them to do. They're very compliant. Man, if you've got a child like that, you should just run around and praise God. Lift your hands every day and say, thank you, God, for this child that you've given me. But if you have more than one, chances are you may have a compliant child, but you're going to have a non-compliant child as well. Normally, that's the way it is. Our first child, our daughter, was incredibly compliant, at least until she became a teenager. Very compliant. Did whatever we asked her to do, you know, followed through. Our second child, if we'd have had our second child before, we probably wouldn't have had any more children. There she is right there. There's the culprit. Bethany. And I love her very much. And I want to tell you something. She was a strong-willed child. She would, if I said go right, she'd go left. If I said step back up, she'd go forward. That's her nature. But when she became a young adult, it worked in her favor because she was very strong-willed and people couldn't tell her to do something she didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you something. She's grown to be a beautiful young woman, a wonderful daughter, and an incredible mother. Amen. And I love her very much. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Rules, important stuff. You know, discipline seems to be a major problem in the United States today. And I think that mostly because we have moved away from biblical principles. And we don't understand the importance of proper discipline. We call it corporal punishment, or we call it all kinds of crazy things. Even when you take away privileges from children, that's coming under fire these days. Wherever you look at, they're trying to take away the responsibility of individuals to govern their own life properly so that our nation is out of control And that's what we're seeing in many households. Children that are out of control, parents that are out of control, lives that are just totally out of control. God has called His people to be different, to live by biblical principles, to serve the living God every day of our life, to put our trust in Him. His desire is for you as an individual, as parents, to be His shining light, to be salt. Salt to your children, light to your children, and salt and light to this world. Stand with me. You know, I was reading a little bit about John Wesley. It's really interesting about him. He was going to become a Catholic priest, and he was on a ship and traveling with Moravian missionaries. And they were some of the first missionaries that believed that God had called them to go throughout the world and preach the gospel. And as he was traveling with them, they went through a series of storms. And what he recognized was from these Moravians and their families is that they were not afraid in the midst of the storm. Everyone else was cowering. Everyone else was afraid they were going to lose their life. But these missionaries, they had a different perspective on things. They recognized that God was in control. And that God wasn't going to get rid of them or let the storm take them until they had fulfilled their mission in life. And they were just at peace. And that set John Wesley on a track of searching the Bible and trying to find out. And he talked a lot with the Moravians. And he found out that there was a difference in trying to please God with works and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The grace of God through faith in Jesus. John Wesley was an interesting guy. He also had a dream toward the end of his life. And he was concerned about the body of Christ. And God took him to the gates of hell. And when he was standing there at the gates of hell, he called in. He said, "Are there any Presbyterians here? Are there any Methodists here? Are there any Catholics here? Are there any Baptists here?" And each time he asked that question, the voice would come back, "Yes." And we're talking about hell. And then God took him to the gates of heaven. And he called in, "Are there any Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists? Are there any in there?" And the voice came back and said, "No. All that are here are Christians." That's the responsibility we have, is to teach our children not to be Bethelites, or not to follow a denominational trek or understanding. Our responsibility is to teach them to love God and serve Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today we just thank you for your word. Thank you for Mother's Day. It's an incredible, incredible day to honor our mothers, to serve you, and to recognize how wonderful our mothers are. And Lord, we just ask that you bless each family today. I know they're going to be doing family things, and I ask for your blessing upon them. Serve, touch your people that we might serve you with all our heart, soul, and mind, Lord. Today, we give you glory and honor as we go our separate way, recognizing that you are an awesome and mighty God. Father, lead us into worship that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way.
Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.